I'm Chase Ralston with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Bachman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right, this is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T-Bone Turner from the Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
It's really, really not that good.
Welcome to the Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast. The podcast is presented by HHA Sports, also brought to you by Gator Outdoors. What's up, Wade?
What's up, dude?
Sin Crusher, Loophole, Thermoseat, Victory Archery, Elite Archery, Big Time, Hunter's Blend, Old Barn Taxidermy, and hopefully you shoot a buck like the one we're about to talk about, and then you can take it to Old Barn, and then you're taken care of.
That's right.
Ran through them quick. We've been hammering ads pretty heavily, so sometimes you guys just need a break. I get it, but you got to understand, this is free content, and
got to take care of the biz.
Yeah, got to take care of the biz. It's how we justify to our wives. We're making money.
That's right.
So, and we're not. I'm Kurt Geyer. Eric, what's up?
Just taking a drink of my beer. How's it going, man?
That was a good Bush Light, huh?
Yeah, fucking A.
We have Wade from Gator. What's up, dude?
Doing good.
Thanks for bringing your cousin to the studio, Kyle Simmons. What's up, man?
How's it going?
Thank you for coming.
No problem.
Thank you for bringing this magnificent animal.
Creature.
Okay, I knew this animal was big. We're going to talk about, we're going to get all into the story from point A to point Z, whatever the fuck. This thing is massive. Like, you think big, you think you know how big this whitetail is. Like, look it up if you can't tell by the cover art. And it's bigger than what you think in person. We have it.
It's twice as big as the pictures, it seems like.
I think so. Oh, yeah. It's we have the mount hanging on the wall in studio, and it is, it makes all my bucks in my house. I was like, oh, yeah, you want to come see all my 100 inchers?
Yeah, he's like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't even know where to start with it, honestly, because the story goes back. So, introduce yourself. How's that? What's up, Kyle?
How's it going?
Thanks for coming.
No problem.
How you feeling?
Feel good.
So, who are you? Where do you grow up? Where do you hunt? All the, don't give us coordinates.
We don't need to get that. No, we need coordinates.
After the show.
Okay.
Well, yeah. I don't know those, so I can't help you there.
It's good.
Drop me a pin.
So, grew up in Jackson County. Same place I've always been. I've lived there my whole life. Mm-hmm. Small town Iowa, you know?
Yeah, yep.
Lived in a town of 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
And still hunting the same area, still.
Same property?
Same property.
No kidding.
Yep.
Good to hear.
He's got a bigger buck on camera this year.
No.
So, how long did you hunt before you killed this animal?
So, kind of like Wade, I cut my teeth coon hunting when I was a kid, you know?
Yep.
As soon as I could walk, basically, you know, or walk along anyway. And I didn't start bow hunting until I was like 21. Kind of, we did a lot of pheasant hunting,
mm-hmm.
and then the pheasant population took a crap, so we started bow hunting.
Yeah.
And actually, my first couple of years I bow hunted, I was a borrowed bow, just like 90% of the other stories go, you know?
Just seeing if you liked it for you spend any money and all that shit.
Yep, yep. And actually, I bought a bow the year I shot that deer. The first money I spent on my own. First bow I ever bought. First deer I ever shot with a bow.
No kidding.
Yep.
Okay.
How crazy is that?
That makes a story.
Was this your first deer ever?
Bow? No. No. I'd like youth hunted and all that stuff.
Shotgun.
And then did a little bit of late muzzleloader stuff because I did a lot of high school sports.
Yeah.
Which didn't allow a lot of time to hunt.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Okay. So first buck with a bow.
Yes.
Holy shit.
First deer with a bow?
First deer with a bow.
Oh, first deer with a bow.
First deer.
Yes.
Imagine.
I'm leaving.
Fucking kick ass. I'm out of here. I mean, but let's cover this. Like, you understand what you shot. Like, you're not some dude that's like, it's okay. Like, you're not that guy. I don't catch that vibe anyway.
No, absolutely.
I'm a measurer, and I've measured a few deer over 200 inches, and typically the vibe is that. Like, the guys that, like, don't really care as much as, like, some of the more passionate guys that shoot them, you know?
Yep.
And they're kind of just like, yeah, it's pretty good. I'm like, fuck, man. You never get the smile off my face if I killed a buck or 200.
Most people hunt their whole life never get to do anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, even touch anywhere close to 200.
Yep.
Right, right.
So give it, like, start us from wherever this story begins on this animal.
Probably right
say
here.
Animal, like I'm it's like National Geographic. What the fuck am I doing? It's a deer. Tell us about this animal, deer, this beautiful specimen. Yeah.
So the story begins.
He's like, yeah,
the story begins actually in early March, mid March. My dad and brother went out shed hunting on this property,
mm-hmm.
and probably 200 yards into the shed hunt, my brother found these two sheds laying right next to each other.
No kidding. Let me see one of them bad boys.
He picked them up, took them back, and put them in the back of the truck, and kept shed hunting the rest of the day. Well, my dad chewed his butt when I got back to the truck. He's like, you left these laying in the back of the truck along the road?
Oh, my gosh.
And what are the chances that caliber of deer drops them right next to each other?
Right next to each other.
What's the chances you see a caliber of deer with those sheds like that?
So
it's slim to none.
Let's paint a picture for people listening. How big are these sheds?
They're 190 without a spread.
Without a spread.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So you guys got these sheds. He throws them in the back of the truck and continues to shed hunt like yep. he's going to find something bigger.
Right, right. So
that's fantastic.
So he brings them home, and I wasn't home. I didn't live at home at the time at my mom and dad's. And I walked into the house the next day, and they were just like sitting there on the table, and it was one of those like, holy cow, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody said anything to me about them. They just let me find them, you know.
Just walked into them.
Yeah. And it was like, holy cow. So we knew we had something on our hands then.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like, you know, you don't want to tell anybody, but yet
you want to tell
other
everybody.
People gun hunt tell everyone and right. all this. And we actually found out later that one of the shotgun hunters thought they'd seen him that year. You know,
just
we
didn't
don't
say shit.
Sure. Yeah.
Of course.
So now are these sheds the year prior to you shooting him?
Yeah. Okay. The year before.
So I can only imagine being Kyle and saying, do not go to the bar. Do not drink. Because you know you're going to talk about them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You oh, can't. Yeah.
Right?
Okay. So, damn. That's impressive. So, yeah. For painting pictures for the listeners, the sheds are on the studio table. We're fondling them as he's talking. And the buck's hanging on the studio wall. So, you walked into these. Obviously, you want to call everybody. But like, you got to come see these, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, how many people did you tell?
Not very many. Just a couple.
That's
yeah.
smart.
Yeah. And we shed hunted back then. We walked everywhere we could get our boots on. You know, we shed hunted all over. So we just
yeah.
even the people we told, we didn't tell them where we found them. You know, it was just
right.
hey, we found a big set of sheds.
Right, right.
You know, of course everybody asked, where'd you find them at?
Well, yeah, you lie.
Yeah,
you say Illinois. Somewhere.
you stay in the woods like every other person does.
California.
Yeah, in the woods. Okay, so keep us going.
So we kind of just started dabbling in the trail cameras that like the year before that.
What year is this?
2008 is when I shot him.
Okay.
So it was 2008. So we started dabbling in the trail cameras then. We had a couple of the, they were like a Wild View or something,
mm-hmm.
you know, like a $30 trail camera.
Yeah. Yeah.
Terrible pictures.
Of course.
And, so we put these cameras out and, you know, we had pictures of a few bucks, but nothing here, nothing of him.
Yeah.
Nothing really even great, you know, just some nice bucks.
Yeah.
So, you know, we really didn't even have any hope he was still there, you know, because there was food plots, corn food plots, standing 100 yards from where these sheds were found. So we mm-hmm. figured maybe he's just coming to the area that winter to eat.
Right. He was just a winter movement
yeah,
pattern.
That's kind of what we thought.
Yeah. Which is understandable,
yep.
especially finding sheds there but not get a trail cam picture of them.
Correct. So that summer, there's a big 300-acre bottom cornfield
mm-hmm.
got flooded out, no corn at all in it. So all the food's on the other side of the property. There's nothing down there. The whole bottom's gone.
Yeah.
So I needed a north wind to get in there. And, you know, I'd hunted a few times earlier in the year, but
it's refreshing to hear that you're like hunting wind and stuff. Cause it shows that you weren't like complete rookie. Like you were thought out.
No, it was thought out. Cause it was actually, I was even waiting for a north wind and I needed it to be a fairly stiff north wind. Cause where I was going was deep in the timber and,
mm-hmm.
and actually I got lucky because I was working on the road all summer
mm-hmm.
and I got off that Wednesday. Thursday it rained all day and the temperature went from like 80 to 50.
No
and
shit.
So for Friday morning I went in to go hunting and I got busted by a doe on the way in and I was mm-hmm. like, you know what, I don't want to screw the rest of this up. So I backed out, went home.
What's the date?
October 18th.
Okay. So it's getting hot.
That was the morning I went in. I went home, came back that afternoon, and I had a climber on my back.
Mm-hmm.
Walked in there. Like I said, made a bunch of noise going in. Actually spooked some deer on the way in. Found a tree I wanted to be in, climbed up, settled in. And I was only there for a half hour when he came walking by.
Okay.
And I'm talking like 3 p.m.
No kidding. Okay, let's rewind a little bit. The whole time you're doing all this, and I know you kind of like hinted at this, but is this deer the one deer that's kind of like you're thinking about it nonstop every time you hunt? Or did you kind of like forget about it a little bit and just hope that maybe there was a you'd pull that lottery ticket and he'd show up?
Again, first deer with a bow, so yeah, good buck shows up, I'm shooting it. You know,
right.
Really, I had a doe tag in my pocket. A doe showed up. It was, you know, middle of October. I was probably shooting that too.
Yeah.
So it was, yeah, he was on the mind, but he wasn't the only deer on the mind.
You know? Gotcha. It wasn't like he took up everything you were thinking about when you on your way in, on your way out, every time you sat.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Well, and true, and you didn't have any trail cam pictures of him, so it was probably, like, is he even still in the area, or where the hell is he
even
at?
That would help your nerves a little bit then, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So you're not thinking about it constantly.
Right.
Okay. So I just wanted to paint that a little bit more, because I'm trying to put myself in your shoes at this time in your story. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So you get in there, you're climber, you're spooking shit, you're being loud, kind of. It's like 3 p.m.
Yep. So I climbed up, and I kind of let everything settle down a little bit. And then, like I said, it wasn't windy, but there was a steady breeze.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually took my rattle bag out and my grunt tube, and I did some, just like something kind of playing around.
Yeah.
Made some soft grunts, and I sat back down. And I was actually kind of like daydreaming. I wasn't even paying attention to anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard some turkeys start scratching the leaves, and it kind of woke me up, and I turned around, and I saw the back half of a big deer, like, 30 yards away walking towards me.
Yeah.
Like, he just was all of a sudden right there.
Back half is in, like, his body.
Yes, back half of his body.
Like his ass?
So I immediately stood up, grabbed my bow, turned back around, and then I saw his rack and immediately knew, okay, big buck.
So when you see his rack, how far at this point, roughly?
Maybe 25 yards.
Oh, shit.
It was right in your lap. There, in my lap. So I immediately wait till he walks behind a tree, draw my bow. He walks behind another tree, comes out into a little opening. I settled on him, shot. And, I mean, it happened that fast, 15 seconds from the time I saw him to the time I shot.
Sometimes, though, when they come in that fast, it's almost better, so you're not anticipating it, you know, see him from 100 yards away and they're slowly walking at you.
You get your nerves going. Can you imagine watching this deer from 100 yards come into you?
No.
No time to get nervous.
So you That's didn't, what I'm saying. You didn't, no time. Did you know the buck when you saw it? Were you like, that's him or nothing?
No. So I shot him. He spun around and went back the way he came, probably 60 or 70 yards, and he stood there and started to kind of do the little wobble,
mm-hmm.
and then he actually tipped over. That's when I got my binoculars on him. I got my binoculars on him. His head was still up, though. He laid down, but his head was still up, and then I could see his left beam, how it kind of curled around and it's kind of palmated, and I recognized that from the sheds, and that's when I knew I had shot the buck from the sheds that we'd found.
No. Okay. So when you look at him through your binos, were you like, oh my God, like that's a super, super, super giant?
Yes.
Or, okay, it was that. I was wondering if you, there's sticks and you can't tell what's what, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And again, what year was that again, Kyle?
2008.
So we had what kind of phones then?
Probably a Razor.
I had a flip phone a Razor. Back then.
With
shitty
reception?
Oh, yeah.
I actually probably had a good reception compared to what we have now.
Probably.
Because
there's too much shit going on those phones.
He had a Verizon, like, chocolate. Remember those?
So who was your first call? Your old man?
I think I sent my brother Lance a text to say I just shot the buck from the sheds.
Okay, so how long were you in the stand before you felt I can go get him? Like, so did you do all this texting, all this shit from the stand?
From the stand, and actually, like I said, his head was still up. Okay. So I sat there for a little bit, and I kept peeking at him, and at one point he stood up and walked like 5 yards and laid back down.
Ooh.
I sat in that tree stand for 3 hours.
Smart man.
And watched this deer. And finally, I sent my dad a text and said, I think I'm going to climb out and try and get another arrow in him.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad said, don't you even think about it.
Yeah.
If he hasn't moved in 3 hours, he said, climb down, come home, we'll go
back
later.
Your dad's a smart man.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was the right thing
That's
to do.
That's some good advice.
Yeah, it was the right thing to do because he was laying right there when we went back. But we went back at 11 o'clock, so it would have been 8 hours after I shot him.
Oh, fuck. Were you sick?
I did not stop moving the whole time. I paced at my mom and dad's forever, And then I went to my house and I paced. And then I went back to my mom and dad's. Yeah, I did not stop moving the whole time.
I would be a fucking mess.
I would have drank an 18-pack.
Yo, yeah.
Easily.
Yeah, in 20 minutes.
I wouldn't have drank. I'll be honest. I'm weird with deer hunting. Nope, because I need to make right decisions. Yeah. I need to make correct, especially on this. So while you're waiting, how many people knew about the situation?
Just the three of us. My mom.
You guys are well thought out. You guys would handle this how I think I would handle it.
Yeah.
Because not a soul would know. Yeah. I don't know if you actually listen to the podcast, you can tell me no. I get that. The Cemetery Buck podcast. I don't know if you heard that episode or not.
Yep.
Monster. Your buck actually scores more. But a monster muley and a famous muley. He went recluse for like a year with that buck because he didn't want the attention of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just, I would have that in the back of my head doing something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so 8 hours, you're all over the fucking place.
8 hours, we come back, me, my dad, and my brother, all three of us came back. I went to the tree stand and said, okay, the buck was standing over there. Dad kind of started walking that path. We kind of lost our bearings because I couldn't. Once I got down to where I thought he was, it looked completely different than it did,
of course,
from the tree stand.
Right. Yeah.
So
pitch black out there.
So we get down there. We can't find him. Can't find him. We're looking around. Can't find nothing.
Do you got blood or anything?
No. We found part of the arrow that broke off because it didn't pass through him.
Mm-hmm.
It was the fletching side, you know, 8 inches arrow sticking out of him. Found part of that. I went back to the tree stand, and I looked back down there. And I saw a stump that he had originally crashed by.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back down, found that stump.
I mean, it's dark right now.
It's 11 o'clock at night, 11:30, whatever it was. And I end up calling my brother over so we had more light. Because it was a lot of underbrush. Yeah, it was pretty thick in there.
Yeah.
And we're scanning the lights, and he was laying there with his head drooped over the ditch.
Oh, so he wasn't, like, popping out.
No. So we saw him, and we started, you know, screaming basically. And my dad was probably 40 yards up the ditch. He'd walked past him.
Yeah.
He was coming back, and he came back, and he's like, you should see this side hanging over the ditch. it was crazy. We were going crazy.
I'd be crying.
Run me through walking up on this deer.
So I walked up on this deer, and I actually I kneeled down. And I didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
I was just staring at it like, this thing's bigger than, you know, we thought. You know, we see the sheds, and yeah, it's a big deer, but yeah.
Bigger than anything.
Yeah.
I mean, come to find out, he put on like 70, 80 inches in 1 year. You know, that's crazy.
Right. So are you like, dude, this is like a record of some kind?
Or no.
Didn't go through your head at all?
Not one bit. So it really even didn't, nothing like that even happened. For a couple of days, so my dad ended up down in the Quad Cities at...
Hold on. I don't want to go this far yet. Back me up. I want to savor
you
these.
You the full effect of
sorry,
this.
Sorry to cut you off.
You're good.
Because I want to talk about, like, how long were you out there with this deer before you, like, gutted it and pulled... You know what I mean? Because I think a lot of these finer details of what a lot of people take for granted with their deer or kind of rush through moments like this, I'm just curious in comparison because I like to slow down. When I shoot a buck, I enjoy my moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of want to see how you guys went through it on a world-class animal like this versus like a 150 of like something I would shoot. You know what I mean?
I wish we would have slowed down.
Yeah, that's fair.
We pulled it out of the brush. We took...
I'm not trying to put you in the hot seat.
No,
either.
I get it.
But yeah. I'm sure your adrenaline's just going crazy. I mean, they're all adrenaline's going
nuts.
That's
a good point. I don't know what that's like.
Yeah. We took 30 pictures.
Yeah. You
know, most people would take 300 pictures, and now I would have taken 300 pictures.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we took 30 pictures in the dark, no daytime pictures, nothing.
Yeah.
We actually, it was kind of down this big hill, through the timber, across the big steep ravine.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up quartering them out and carrying them out.
No kidding, you quartered them out.
Quartered them out, cut his hindquarters off. My dad carried a hindquarter in each leg, or each hand, and my brother and I grabbed onto each antler and drug him up.
No shit.
Nope.
God damn.
Well, that's kind of cool, actually.
Because we tried.
Deer hunting. They're deer hunting.
We got him down into the ravine, and we couldn't get him back up out of the ravine. So it was like,
that's
well,
when you had to quarter him up.
Quarter him out.
That is funny. Okay.
That's crazy.
So you get him back out. I mean.
And it was 3 o'clock before we got him out.
Okay.
It was 3 hours. It was a heck of a drag.
You're putting him somewhere safe and going to bed.
So, no, we hung him in the garage.
Well,
with the back door of the garage open, so the cool air could get in. Yeah. You know?
Well, nobody knew, right?
No, nobody knew. Nope. So we did that, and then the next morning came, and I went over there and started cleaning him and everything, and all of a sudden people started walking in my mom and dad's garage when my mom and dad went to work, and were telling people in town, everyone, "Hey, Kyle just shot this 28-point buck."
Mm-hmm.
So then all of a sudden people started coming in. It was the whole day. It was just kind of a one person every hour, half hour, come walking. I want to see this thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
We still didn't know it was as big as it is. We just knew it was a 28-point buck, you know?
Right, right.
Because how often do you see a 290-inch deer on the hoof, you know?
No kidding.
Right. Let alone anytime. Dead. Yeah, right.
So very fair. Okay. So what's next? You're saying your dad was down in the cities, which is where we're from, kind of.
So, well, even before that. So that same day, I was cleaning the deer. Well, when my dad got home from work, he goes, you know, somebody mentioned to me, maybe we should call the game warden.
Mm.
So we called the game warden. He came out. Looked the carcass over, looked the arrow over.
Smart.
Said, great idea.
Said, yep, looks like a bow kill to me. He goes, I see nothing that dictates otherwise. So we got that taken care of first.
Yeah.
And then took him to the taxidermist that same night.
No kidding.
Got him to the taxidermist. Now, he caped him out and said, you're taking this home with you.
Smart taxidermist.
He mounted a 215 a couple years before that, and he goes, this thing is way bigger than that. So that was kind of the first indication we got that, okay, maybe it's
just gave me chills thinking about that.
Uh-huh. I'm glad to hear. I mean, the deer, you know, it's a good story. But I'm glad to hear that you had, because you didn't know what you had. Really, you had intelligent people to advise you to do the right things.
Right.
Because that deer could have been swiped off easy if not thought out correctly. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, your taxidermist like take this thing home with you. I'm not responsible for it, pretty much.
Yep. So we took it home, and then I think it was the next day. My dad was actually down here in the cities. He was at Gainer Mountain. And Rick White was in there doing a seminar from Hunter Specialties.
Yep.
He gave Rick White, or showed Rick White, hey, look at this picture of this buck my dad or my son just shot. And Rick White goes, that's over 250.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I was like, what? So then we kind of got hooked up with a couple scores from, well, the one was, his name was Randy Templeton.
Mm-hmm. He's a writer.
Mm-hmm. He's the first one to contact me, wanted to do an article for him.
He's from DeWitt today. Or from
Bluegrass.
Bluegrass.
Yep. He actually passed away last year.
Yep. Yeah, he got cancer real bad or something like that. That's too bad.
So he came up and he green scored it.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up at like 270. And as he's adding this up, you know, 250 goes by and then 260. And it's like, holy cow. Because at the time, after we'd, you know, known this, we knew the state record by bow was 253. It was that Brian Andrews buck that got stolen.
Yeah. We've talked about that here and there on the podcast. Yeah.
So the game warden, when he came over, he actually advised, he says, you know, put this somewhere, don't tell anybody, all this stuff. So,
yeah.
So, and we did that shortly after we got it home from the taxidermist. We put it away.
Yeah.
But, so he came and he scored it, and he was like, well, you know, we've got something here. You know, that's probably going to end up being a state record, because he goes, I don't see it losing 15 inches from where I'm at, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, and the drying period.
Yeah. Some deer, I've met a lot of deer, some deer shrink, some deer don't really. It's just, I guess, I don't know if it's like density of each, I don't know. But, definitely not 15 inches.
Yeah. So then, shortly after that, it was beginning of January, I guess, Randy came back, and he had two other scores with him.
Mm-hmm.
He had two Boone and Crockett scores with him, because he was only a Pope and Young score.
Yeah.
And they did their own panel. And they measured it a couple different ways, and they filled out the score sheets and sent them in and said, you guys can decide based on pictures.
For people that are wondering, like, why they measured a couple different ways, a lot of times there's – and I don't know this exact circumstance in this, but like looking at a lot of things can be debated, whether it's a typical point, an abnormal point, and what like the frame actually is, and then you add E, which is all your abnormal points, to your typical frame. Every deer has a typical frame, so –
Well, and that was a good idea on Randy's part to bring other scores in there also, so it wasn't just going off just his score.
Dude, I would have done the same exact thing.
Yep.
For sure, because that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Especially a potential state record.
Yeah.
So anyway, so smart dude.
So, and they did the scoring, and then they sent the score sheets in, and then it came back at 275 and 5/8 net and 290 and 2/8 gross, which at the time was obviously the state record in Iowa.
Yeah,
and
290 and 2/8,
and was a, I think it was third Pope and Young
all time.
It's since fallen farther than that, but I don't remember where at now. But
yeah, holy shit. So what is your mindset when they're like, dude, this is like a state record?
I don't know. It was just kind of cool, I guess. You know, I was like, you know, wow.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty neat. You know, you just shot a state record.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you know? At a time, how old are you?
24.
You know what I would have done? And I probably wouldn't have really done this, but I would have just done it to just be a dick bag. So I've had people like overly brag on deer on me at a bar. Like, you know, those guys. Oh, yeah. Just been like, I shot a pretty good one. I passed them for a few years and then be like, oh, here it is. Like, wait for them to show the pictures, but here it is.
Oh, you have to. You have to do it.
Did you do here, that?
Here's my biggest.
Yeah, here's my. It's just, it's a little guy. I haven't had him measured. I don't know.
It's a nice 140, though.
Yeah, it's 140 frame with just a lot of shit on it, you know. Okay, so you're like, yeah, I mean, of course that's cool. You shot state record in Iowa.
Yep.
Iowa, of all places.
Yeah.
Like one of the big buck capitals.
Yes.
The place.
Well, Illinois is up there, so settle down.
True. Sorry, yeah. You're right. We have better roads. You're outnumbered. We have way better roads.
Hey. You're outnumbered here again.
Hey, well, fuck yeah. so you're the man all of a sudden in deer hunting.
It was kind of cool because then it was, you know, like the Whitetail Classic's calling and they want you to come bring your head out. And then actually Rick White got a hold of me and he wants me to bring my head out and have it in their booth. And
mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, okay, that's kind of neat, you know.
Yeah,
watch
yeah.
Rick White on TV all the time, you know.
Yeah.
Now you're bumping elbows with him a little bit. And uh-huh. It was kind of cool.
And it social really was. Media wasn't that big either at the time.
There was hardly nothing, no.
Right. Imagine now, not to take away from it, but it would just been even more insane now.
For real, I was actually, to back up, when he actually shot the deer and was going out, imagine packing that out and actually having the phones we have now and the pictures taken and walking back.
The videos, the Snapchats.
Can imagine that.
That would have been insane.
I mean, the way they quartered him out and him just holding it, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
It would have been really cool. That's a good point. Okay. So how long between sending it in, like, hey, you got probably a state record. Like, is there a process with, like, hey, confirmed state record? I know they got to go through the panel through Pope and Young and Boone and Crockett and all that, but
with the state of Iowa, no, yeah, they just accept the score.
Yeah, okay.
So they just took the score sheet and said, yep, state record, and put it on top of their charts. But yeah, with Pope and Young and Boone and Crockett both, there was a panel that had to go through.
Yeah, I bet. So did you get like a plaque or certificate that said state record or anything like that?
Nope.
Just that
there's a certificate that, you know, you entered your deer in the Iowa record books, but yeah, no, nothing special.
No kidding. I figured there'd be some big like deal for that, you know.
A gift card
to like Cabela's for like $25 or something.
Yeah.
Casey's.
You get a free slice of Casey's pizza once a week. It'd be pretty sweet actually. I'd take that over a plaque, honestly. That's nuts. So what was his official gross and net?
So he grossed 290 and 2/8, net 275 and 5/8.
God damn, dude. That is insane. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
That's an absolute beast. So his right side, oh, man, I can't even tell without looking at it. He actually has a fairly typical-looking frame.
For sure.
With all the goodies.
His typical
frame. I brought the score sheet.
Yeah, I got the official score sheet. His typical frame gross is 229 and 7/8.
Hold on. Say that again.
His typical frame gross is 229 and 7/8.
229 and 7/8. The Myla Hansen buck, I don't know what it grossed, but it netted like 212.
Yeah.
So
I think that, what's it say, 215 or something net?
He would have netted 215 and 2/8. So take away all the abnormal points, you have the world record typical right there.
Right.
Like, it still, to this day, it would be the world record typical.
Take a Sawzall to it?
We could clean it up.
Just hack it up a little bit.
Paint over all the cut marks. 60 and 3/8 inches abnormal or non-typical, however you word it.
Good grief.
I'm just going to go through some of these stats for guys that are junkies. Is that cool with you?
Yeah.
Inside spread, 24 and 0/8, so really wide. beams, right beam is 26 and an eighth. Left beam is 27 and an eighth, which is big, but, man, those aren't, like, the biggest by any means, which makes that even more impressive, you know?
Right.
His right antler is 104 and 5/8. His left antler is 101 and 2/8. His typical frame has 14 and 5/8 deduction. So people who aren't aware, every deer gets scored and netted as a typical, then add E, which is your line of 60 and 3/8 of normal. So that's how you get your score. So 229 and 7/8 as a typical, take off 14 and 5/8, deduction, 215 and 2/8 net typical. I do, even though I am a measure, I do agree nets are for fishing, but that's just the way it is. Add 60 and 3/8, 275 and 5/8 final score in the book. God.
Because isn't it like if there's so many inches of abnormal points, it gets added to the score? Or
It has to have, to be considered a non-typical, it has to have 15 inches or more of abnormal points. Okay. Anything less than 15 inches, it's a deduction on a typical frame.
Gotcha.
So it has to, you know, it has to break that 15-inch mark.
Wow.
This is amazing.
If we're not talking for a while, we're actually looking at the buck, and we're not. Yeah. We're just, that's, you know what I mean?
We're daydreaming over here.
That's what all this pause.
I mean, you get to feel the feeling what we're actually looking at right now.
And then it's in Buckmasters, too, as, man, I've never seen a Buckmaster score sheet. That's kind of funny, huh? 292 and 5/8, official score, 268 and 5/8. Boy, oh boy, that is impressive shit. I love the hand scribbled on score sheets, man. There's just something to them, you know, like the nostalgia of them. So what do we got here? So we got the score sheet. Take that, Eric, or whoever.
So the DVD there was just a big buck profile on it.
Oh, cool, on North American Whitetail.
Yep.
Very cool. That's awesome. Hopefully they gave this to you. Yep. Rack Magazine, classic. You're on the cover with the mount. That's cool. Kyle Simmons, 268 and 5/8, irregular compound bow. That's cool, man. Do you have all these framed?
No, but I have like a ton of them. So I used to have them framed, and when I moved at one point, they all got taken out of the frames. And
that's fair.
But yeah, I've got a whole box of them.
So you're on cover of Rack, cover of North American Whitetail.
And that was the first one. They contacted me like immediately. Well, like I said, Randy contacted me.
I do remember when this buck hit. Like the mainstream, I guess you could say. And I do remember getting this magazine back then.
Mm-hmm.
I knew the buck before I found out you were Wade's cousin.
Yeah.
I knew about this buck. They're not cousins, which is why that's funny, because I said that on a previous podcast. Cover story, 270-inch mega buck, huge October bow trophy, page 20. And then we have Buckmasters. Isn't Buckmasters and Rack the same thing?
Yes.
How are they going to put you in the corner on Buckmasters?
Because I was on the front and Rack.
Oh, geez. So
they couldn't do it twice or what?
Come on, Buckmasters, tighten up.
That deer is that Field and Stream buck that was from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
That was a big deal, too, that year.
That's a nice buck, but yeah, come on. Yeah.
That was the one that they filmed in a bean field or something. Thought it was going to be a world record typical and ended up not being typical.
Well, come on, you know. You got the Iowa state record right here.
Right.
Show some respect. No, I'm just kidding. That's a great buck. Where was that buck killed?
Buffalo County.
Oh, Wisconsin. Yeah. I'm just kidding. We love Wisconsin.
Can't believe you didn't wear your Wisconsin hat.
I thought about it.
Man, very cool.
That's hilarious.
That's amazing. It's a great story. So tell me about, like, so are you kind of like a celebrity in the hometown? Are you a celebrity when you go to, like, Bass Pro Shops or hunting shows?
Nothing like that, no. But I guess in the hometown, everybody knows me as the guy that shot the big buck.
You know? Yeah.
So well, they probably recognize the buck more than they do you.
Pretty much. Well, not really, but they recognize my name. And, like, we'll go knock on a door to ask permission to go coyote hunting or something, and they'll be like, oh, you're the one that shot that big buck how many years ago?
You know, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yep,
the cool thing is he's very humble about it.
You are.
So that's been very cool, like, in a small town, you know. I mean, I would easily be just an idiot. I think I would be. I'd be so cocky. I'd be like, you know me? You know who I am? I'd have shirt would have my buck on it and walk
state
around.
State record holder.
You know?
He'd have the mount on the front of his truck.
But he's been so humble, I mean, the whole time. I mean, that's been really cool.
That is really awesome, man. So, did you like the attention of it afterwards? I mean, that'd be kind of cool. It wouldn't be, like we talked earlier, not to the extreme of the, like, Facebook and all that.
Yeah. So, I guess there was no Facebook and everything, right?
Yeah.
But it actually went viral through email. Like, it was crazy. My mom sent out an email that morning and got the email back that afternoon. And
I'm sure, like, the old forums and shit, it went crazy.
See, what was really cool was the UKC pages, like the coon hunting pages.
Yeah.
That's where the picture was getting resurfaced. And that was because back then you could actually, somehow somebody posted a picture on the UKC coon hunting pages, United Kennel Club pages, and you actually saw that deer. Right. That was really cool because that was getting posted. People were talking about it. I mean, that was our redneck Facebook at the time. Was the coon hunting pages, so...
Archery Talk?
Yeah.
The old forums.
Yeah, the old forums. You're like, damn, get on Google, you know, UKC. Oh, look at Kyle Simmons right here. Check this out. So that, cool.
Yeah, it's freaking awesome.
The iowawhitetail.com, it was big on Iowa
Whitetail. Oh, yeah, for sure. That was a huge forum back then.
It was.
We're all riding bikes, you know, this is a little town. Like, that deer lives around here? What? What?
That's freaking crazy, man.
Yeah. But, so, yeah, it was just nuts how fast it went through email. Like, it went to one person, that person sent it out to everybody and everybody, and all of a sudden it came back.
Well, I mean, just imagine 2020 we're in now, and that buck was shot this fall. Imagine the shitstorm.
It'd be a shitstorm.
He would have to shut off his phone.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
You'd have to lock your doors. You'd have to hide your wife.
Get rid of your Facebook. Get rid of your Instagram.
Yeah, let your lawn mow or let your lawn grow and make sure your windows are covered. And
well, and that was kind of the attention thing was at first it sucked because it was people calling nonstop about this and that and, you know.
Well, then you feel guilty. Did you feel guilty at all?
No.
See, I'd feel guilty.
What would he feel guilty about?
I don't know. I just would feel guilty. Like, you wouldn't?
In what aspect?
A little bit? Like,
I guess
you're that asshole everybody wants to be, you know, but you didn't do anything wrong.
No, fuck him, dude.
Really?
Not.
I would.
No, no way.
Don't get me wrong.
Dude, in our community, nobody cared like that. I get it.
But now you'd be like,
everybody wanted to shoot the deer.
But know what I mean? Like, now, I mean, like, you got all their trolls on Facebook and you know, or on Instagram. And,
right, yeah.
Okay, how'd you kill this deer? Where was it at?
I wouldn't feel bad because now on the internet, I feel like there's a lot of good people, a lot of good vibes, but there'd be a lot of negative shit around it, like making shit up about
always
it.
Always is now.
And that's all it is. And,
well, there was then. Like I said, on iowawhitetail.com, there's people, you know, high fence this and what fence did you
that
shoot
that
under?
Was back
under
then.
And,
yeah. So it's been around forever. It's just enhanced.
People are just their shitbags, but that is cool. So I'll wait till Eric gets back. We're drinking some Busch Light and whatnot. But, you know, if you can put two and two together, they're running out of the studio. Yeah, that is weird. Like, the forum thing was different. Like, archery talk and all that was probably going around. And mm-hmm. So, talk about the safety of this rack, because everyone wants to see it.
So, well, we were more worried about getting stolen, like we talked about. So, like I said, we immediately took it out of my house, my mom and dad's house, got rid of it.
Okay. I want to ask you how you stored it, but I won't.
So, we stored it in a completely different town at a relative's house. Okay. You know, somebody we thought nobody's going to think to look there.
Yeah, yeah.
So then when I got it back, we took it to the taxidermist, and we actually had Joe Meter mount it.
Yeah, I went to Joe Meter's taxidermy school.
Sure.
Yeah.
So he mounted it, got it back. Actually, I took the replica because I had a replica by then as well.
Oh, you did?
So I had replicas made right away.
How much time from kill to replica?
2 weeks after I shot it, we were going up to Minneapolis to get replicas made.
No kidding.
It was one of the things we kind of got advised to do, and then when we talked to the people that make replicas, they said, yeah, if it's not on a mount, we don't have to try and remount it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So if you can bring me just a rack, that'd be the best thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 2 weeks after we shot it, we took it up there. It was mounted a month later, beginning of December, a month and a half later.
Mm-hmm.
Had it mounted. Literally put it in the bank.
Like in a vault.
Yep.
Smart. Really
you
smart.
You have to.
Yep.
At that point.
Because nobody's getting it.
Yep.
Very smart.
So it was in the bank. I figure if somebody's going to break into the bank, they're going to take more than a deer head. So
that's yeah, true, somebody that's putting that much effort ain't going to grab a deer head.
You put it in a safety deposit box. Yeah.
So the actual original real life rack is mounted,
correct,
somewhere in an undisclosed location in like Brazil or something.
Yep,
it's in the White House. Go get it.
How many replicas did you get made?
So this is the only one I have.
Mm-hmm.
There's four or five other ones out there. Mm-hmm. People that have bought them.
And you don't have to give me more information. You can tell me to fuck off at any time, so I'm not, my feelings won't be hurt. I'm trying to get information out of you a little bit. Did you have rights to, like, sell replicas?
Still do.
Still do?
Yep.
So are you the only person that can make a replica of this deer?
Well, so the people that make them, they have the casting of it.
Yeah.
And they actually do it's Antlers by Klaus, or it's called, yeah, it's called Antlers by Klaus now.
Yeah.
They do all the advertisements, all the publicity, all the publishing of it, and they make them and they sell them, and they just send me a royalty check when they
okay.
sell one.
So you don't have to do anything?
Nope.
So every time if I'm like, hey, I'd love to have one of those in my deer collection or my restaurant,
yep.
and I want the Kyle Simmons buck, I call them up, they pour me a replica, and then you're catching a check for royalties.
Correct.
Kick ass. I was hoping that was the case.
Yep.
What does it cost to get a replica done?
So I think
I know it's been a few years.
It goes
years,
by size of the buck.
It goes by inches, and I think it was like $1,500, and I own that cast. So I could go up there at any time and say, I want my cast, and I could take it.
Oh, that's crazy. Mm.
So,
and I think $1,500 is on the cheaper side now.
Probably.
Yeah, well, yeah, sure this was what? Now.
12 years ago.
Yeah, that's right, true. Right. That's true. Very cool. So everyone's going to ask me this if I don't ask it. How long before Bass Pro or Cabela's called you and said, we're giving you money?
Never heard from either one of them.
Never heard from either one of them.
And actually, I contacted Bass Pro to see if they wanted to lease it because I thought, well, it's going to hang on. If it hangs on their wall, it'll be the same as everything else.
Yeah.
Right.
And better than sitting in a bank.
Yeah, yeah.
And they said they only buy and I didn't want to sell. So.
Yeah, that's fair. So. That's fair. I can't understand the attachment, but I could imagine.
So you had no offers? Zero.
Well, I had offers from private collectors.
Like, what are we talking? Can you throw a number amount, a dollar amount, or do you not want to do that?
I can, but I'm not going to.
Okay. That's fair. Fine. I understand that.
Yep.
But tell me where I'm at. I'm just kidding. Just keep pushing. My higher low here. So I get that. That's impressive, man.
And my reasoning for not selling was I talked to other guys that did, and most of them regretted it because they don't know where their heads are at. Mm. So these private collectors are like horse traders. They get tired of it, and they sell it to the next guy, and
then all of a sudden you have no idea where it's at.
That would bother me.
That would bother me too. Like if you ever want to like actually get the real rack. And
yep.
So in studio, this is a replica, of course. Do you ever worry about the replica, or are you just now, I can always get another one poured?
I can get a new one.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So you can kind of take this on tour with you and come do podcasts with drunk idiots and go to deer shows and all that.
Walk in the bar. Yep. What up?
Yeah, what up?
Just like, strapped on his back.
We should do it during bow season, just like kind of strap it so the antlers just stick on the back of the truck. Just a little bit, drive around town.
Yeah.
Right. Number two. Second one.
Go to Casey's parking lot.
Yeah. Oh, man, that'd be great.
I kind of tarp over it and be like, you know, what's up?
Put a bunch of like rolled up shit so it looks like a whole body underneath the tarp. Oh, man, just to get the reactions of that would be hilarious.
It would.
Did anyone know about this deer before you shot him?
Like I said, we got told by the one shotgun hunter that they saw it that year before the year of the sheds.
But not of this rack.
Not that we know of. Nobody. The farmer had never seen him.
But once you shot it, that's when they said that they've seen it.
Yes.
Oh, you had 300 people come out. Yeah, I seen that buck.
And I got the stories from the guys that say, oh, yeah, I hunt the property three places over, and we saw one last year, you know, the year after I shot it.
I've had his track next to my corn crib.
His twin must be next, still out there. It's like, there's another 300-inch deer running around.
So did you have people moving in on your spot and everything, trying to?
So it's a dead-end gravel road, and the traffic kind of picked up, but not really moved in on the spot. No.
Yeah, I just figured that's like when people try to come out and screw you, like, this guy did this, and get him off. And
no.
That's good to hear.
No.
That's good to hear.
He grew a lot in a year, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nuts. But the mindset is like, I don't understand, because that's a thing that happens when people kill big deer. Somebody else wants the spot. It's like, he's dead.
He's gone. Yep.
Yeah, maybe the chance is there. But, I mean, have you seen anything since of anything similar? Offspring? I mean,
size-wise, no. I've seen some of the characteristics. Like the points to shoot on the inside. I saw one other deer. It's probably 140-inch deer, but he had a point coming off the inside.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, stuff like that. But, I mean, no, I've never seen another 290-inch deer, but
yeah.
God, what makes him just grow freakishly like that?
I guess Bush Light. And
I mean, that's Casey's crazy. Pizza. That's crazy. Look at the difference.
Iowa corn and
did you have him aged?
So we did, but I think it got screwed up because it came back at 3.5.
Oh, there's no way.
There's no way.
So, and I guess I can believe that as a 3.5. I don't believe those sheds is a 2.5.
No way. No way. I mean, 5.5.
Yeah.
4.5.
Sure.
For the sheds.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
Sure.
But
yeah, because we gave them to our local biologist or whatever up there in Jackson County, and he took the jaw and sent them in, and he came back and said 3.5. And
are these the real sheds?
Those are replicas as well.
These are replicas. Cool. Yep. Are the sheds with a buck somewhere in Brazil?
Yep.
Yeah.
In Brazil.
Yeah. I figured, well, you know, that's where Hitler went, so it's got to be this. You can hide it.
That's the safest place, right?
If you're going to hide a deer, I'd probably just go wherever the fuck Hitler went. Or he went to Argentina, my bad. But anyway, same credit union, I'm sure, or bank or whatever.
Sure.
We're idiots. He's just like, that's where it is. It's in Brazil.
Yeah, in Brazil.
Man, any regrets?
No.
Why'd you hesitate?
Well, I guess I would never enter another deer into the books.
No kidding.
No. There, it's
break it down. Why?
It was so political with the panel scoring, and because actually Pope and Young knocked the score down. But Boone and Crockett kept the 275.
Interesting.
Which makes no sense because Pope and Young uses Boone and Crockett's scoring system.
Yep.
And Boone and Crockett paneled it before Pope and Young paneled it.
What was the reason? Or did you even give a
there,
shit?
There was one time that they said was not typical, that was scored as typical or vice versa. I don't remember what it was. We had a hard time getting an answer out of them. We were up at – it was in Minneapolis or in Rochester. Where they had the panel at, and we went up to the banquet. And
so when you sent the score sheet in, how long did it take to get a final answer out of them?
From the panel? The Boone Crockett's was, I think, a year and a half later, like not that spring, but the spring after. And Pope and Young's we missed because – so I was supposed to have it scored like in December, but there was a big snowstorm. So the scores didn't get there till January. So the cutoff for their panel was January 1st. So I had to go 3 years to the next panel.
Oh, shit.
So it was 3 years before it went to the next panel. It was, 2011 or whatever when it went to the
panel. Are you kidding?
No.
Wow, okay. You know – I've been a member of Pope and Young for a long time. I've been a measure for, 11 years now. And I've enjoyed it. But I got to say, I don't agree with everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it's...
Well, they probably have a panel where they bring everyone in one day, and then they go over however many bucks.
That was another weird part about the panel is Jack Renaud was on the panel.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Renaud was the president of Boone and Crockett, but he was a member of Pope and Young. Mm-hmm. And he was on the Pope and Young panel for my buck.
Really?
But yet his... Boone and Crockett upheld the score, and we couldn't get an answer out of him either. It's like, you know, why?
No kidding.
What happened? And
I'm surprised he wasn't just like, listen, guys, we've been through this. Like, this is what it is.
No, yeah. No, he was. No, I don't remember the deer, he said. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to say what I want to say because we're learning very quickly that large varieties of people listen to this show for some reason. And normally when you say things and don't actually like, because, you know, you say something, then you kind of forget about it afterwards because it's not. You're not weighing heavy on it, but somebody's feelings get hurt. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
That's what I'll say. Shouldn't. I don't know. Yeah. I can't.
No. But, so, yeah, I've – and it probably helps that I've shot this deer, but I could go out and shoot the world record typical this year, and I'd never have it scored.
I love that, actually.
Nope, I would hang it on my wall. And
quite a few people do that.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys. I know guys who have walls full of studs, and they're just kind of like, yeah, dinner in it. Yeah. Chandler, Austin Chandler, he's got a few entered, but he's kind of like, man, you know, Kurt, he's kind of kicked tires with me. I probably should bring, I've entered like 3 or 4 deer for him, and he's like, I should probably get all them entered maybe one of these days. Just come over. But it's not like some of those deer have been on his wall for 15 years,
it's
10
not
years.
High on his priority list.
No, I mean, because I do get the, you know, you put a number on an animal, then all of a sudden there's like a sliver of your thought on it that gets taken away.
Mm-hmm.
There's a perception through the public like, oh, it's only whatever. Like Creepy is like one of my favorite deer, right? Mm-hmm. He's 155. There's people be like, ah, oh, he's only 155. Like Kurt talked about a 155er all year. Like, mm-hmm. What the fuck? The guys are killing 170s, 180s. It's like, well, you don't know. The number doesn't tell the story. It doesn't add to the history of the animal. It doesn't pay the animal any respects.
And, right.
None.
So I get it. I get it completely. You know, I think people hesitate and kind of dance around that a little bit. I'm not saying that's what you were doing, but because they know I'm a measure or whatever, or talk about it, I'm just like, I get it.
Yeah.
That's all. I get the net thing. It's fucking bullshit. Like, it's for fishing. But I also understand why they're there.
Yeah.
Whatever. Beautiful animal, man. Absolutely insane.
I can't believe either how, like, realistic the replica looked.
Oh, it's an absolutely nuts. You couldn't tell. I didn't know those sheds were fake, and I was just holding them.
Yeah. I didn't either.
Right.
You know? Until we got out of the truck when we got here.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Take two of the long time to squeeze them together.
How long you guys been cousins?
Years. On the whole way up, I'm like, what's up, cuz?
What's up, cuz? Oh, yeah, you can feel it there when you do that.
Yeah.
But the weight seems right.
Feel it. Feel the pedicle on the bottom.
That's one of the things they worked on, I guess.
Like, that feels real, too. Weight,
right?
I mean, it's just a little broke-off piece here. It looks real.
Yeah,
inside.
We were just at the Big Time facility, and he had a 260, 250 some inch buck. It was he calls it a Big Time buck. It was killed over a Big Time plot,
mm-hmm.
And it had fell or during a trade show busted a couple like little kickers off that they were fixing, and it you couldn't tell. I thought it was like, oh, that's fake. Well, of course I figured it was a replica, but it wasn't like, oh, definitely a replica. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like styrofoam where the broken points were.
I'd hate to be the guy that has to paint those things though.
Yeah.
Or however they paint them, right?
They paint them, yep.
Like with a little...
It's impressive, man.
I don't get it.
It is impressive. What was your favorite thing besides the actual like harvest or kill of this animal? Beside like of all the publicity and all the shit, what was the one thing that you think back on the most?
So I think it was fun, you know, meeting everybody and like I said, hanging out with Rick White. I spent a couple classics with Hunter Specialties out there hanging out with him. With Buckmasters, we had a big old box built, shipped it down to Birmingham, and they had a big show down there, and we went down to Birmingham for a weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, that was fun, is getting to meet other people and talk to other people, and
yeah, it's incredible, man. That's cool, but like. That was the coolest thing up until, like, now, right?
Right.
To the podcast. Right. Of course. Yeah, of course, right. So, man, it's absolutely incredible. I really expected you to be like, here's a check for $200,000. Like, I thought you were going to have one of them stories or something, you know, but.
Nope.
Good for you.
His poker face.
Yeah.
He says, I wish.
He's lying. He's got a bank account full of cash.
$200,000? Yeah, he might be gone for $200,000.
Yeah, I don't know if they.
So that first bid wasn't far from it?
Just obviously say. Far from it, or it might be gone.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Would $100,000 do it?
Nope. If we say a dollar amount, we'd be like a little bit higher,
a little bit lower.
$200,000 would do it, huh?
Maybe
over 50.
Maybe
220 replicas.
I don't need a replica. I already got them.
Yeah, but you could sell them.
I can do that now.
Yeah, but you get full money for them.
Yeah, well,
$200 before taxes or after taxes?
No, how about a 200-acre farm? I'd take that.
He already paid taxes on the tags and whatever else he did. Get the fuck well, out there. So
I'd take pay taxes on it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, double dipping. Nice. Well, cool, man. Anything else to add to this guy? I feel we got straight to the point. We kind of trimmed all the fat off this story, even though I tried to create some. But
yeah.
It is what it is, I guess. You know, that's the story. That's the truth. And
we have to take a bunch of pictures of these to put up for people.
Yeah, definitely. When we post this episode, we'll have to give a little time. We'll do like a live after the podcast. But
I mean, the body looks big. It looks like a horse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is the original cape. I put the original cape on the replica.
Oh, nice.
Just kind of assuming I would display this and not the other one.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Very cool. That's a good call. It's a really good call. Well, it's impressive, man. It's an animal of a lifetime. And let's do this where we get out of here. Talk about hunting after this.
You know, it really hasn't changed.
No?
No, it's still my release, I guess you will. You know, I still go out. I still love it.
Yeah.
Still spend too much time doing it, if you ask my wife. And
Well, that's great, though. You don't feel like there's nothing left for you, because that's not true.
150 walks by, still gets me pumped up.
You know? I was going to ask you that. Are you super picky anymore or not?
Well, I'm more picky, yes. I'll say I'm more picky. I mean, you know, if there's a buck walks by that's 150 and I know it's a three-year-old, I'm probably not going to shoot it.
You know?
If it's a 150-inch five-year-old, 135-inch five-year-old, you know, I'll stick it.
But yeah, that's cool to hear.
What's your second biggest buck, class-wise? You don't got to put a number.
So the very first deer I ever shot when I was 12 years old was like 133-inch eight.
Nice.
That's probably my second most impressive, because he was just an eight. Solid at eight.
Yeah.
I shot another nice, technically 9-point, 2 or 3 years ago with my bow. He was like 22 inches inside. He's pretty.
Two years ago.
Nice.
So he was pretty impressive too. He's a nice one too. I never put a tape on him.
Never did.
Good.
Never did.
Good. Man, it makes me want to quit doing that. Hearing you kind of talk about it, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's like,
well, when you got 290, you don't want to see 140 on a paper, you know.
True. Yeah. Definitely. Man, it's amazing.
It's unbelievable, man.
Did we miss anything?
I just don't think I could have shot him. I would have been shaking so bad.
Yeah, like if you watch him from 500 yards, he's like coming through CRP and he's just like moseying and stops and makes a scrape. And
I couldn't do it.
I could do it. I had to think I'd be able to do it anyway.
I couldn't breathe.
As you chuckle after that comment.
So it'd probably be better if it was 500 than 100, because 500 you'd have time to calm back down.
I do better. Well, it depends. I've had both. I always try to like put a scenario on it. There's times where I shoot a buck and I'm nervous as shit until he gets up to me and I shoot him. And then I'm nervous and then I'm calm after. Or it's flip-flop where I'm calm, shoot him, then I come in glued. Mm. Percentage-wise, I'm calm, I shoot him, then I come in glued.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to like – it's like that's the thing I live for. So you're trying to be a professional about it and hold your shit together.
I can't hold my shit together.
You can't?
Last fall, I don't know if you guys got my Snapchat or not. I was sitting in the stand. underneath me, like 130-inch bucks underneath me, and I'm Snapchatting like the video of this buck underneath me, and I just sent it to everybody. Didn't realize how bad I was shaking.
Yeah.
And everybody goes, dude, you all right? You relax? I'm like, it's just 130-inch deer. I'm like, I didn't even look at the video yet. So I look at it, and there it is just, you can't
That's
even see
cool,
the deer.
Cool, though, man. That's cool.
It just gets so jacked.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I watched Creepy walk in from 150 yards, left does to come my direction, like it was like meant to be or whatever.
Yeah.
And I got nervous for a little bit, but he took his time. Like, I got nervous. Said, don't be a fucking pansy. Calm down. He's coming in. Then afterwards, I came unglued.
Yeah.
And then doubted myself and did that.
But that's the feeling you want. That's the feeling you're, you know, I mean, you're striving for, right?
For sure. But
if that feeling's gone, then you're, what do you got?
Well, yeah, I get that. But it's kind of like the moment you're like focusing. It's the time you mentally process this.
True.
Like,
true.
Every time you sit, you should probably think through a situation like that coming from anywhere on whatever stand you're in. Like,
yeah.
Oh, dude, he's going to come from here. He's going to do this, and I'm going to act this way. This is where I'm going to draw. Like, you're constantly
you
gotta
run
doing
through
that.
Yeah.
It's the mental preparation. I mean, archery's mental. Bow hunting's mental. You know, if it's all, if you're just going out and you're not thinking about that shit, yeah, you'd be like, oh, shit, like, I'm unprepared for this.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just like anything. You know, you train, you shoot your bow, you hang your stands, you walk yourself through it. You don't actually do any of that. If you just get in there and think you're never going to see one, you see one, you're going to be like, oh shit, a 290-inch whitetail. Oh, what do I do?
Jump off the stand.
Yeah. So, I know it's part of, I think that's an experience thing, personally, but everybody's different. Yep. You can't call something across the board for every bow hunter because everybody handles different things. You know, like look at Fred Eichler. Dude will shoot a spike and come unglued.
Unglued.
Yeah, that's cool.
Every time.
It's great.
Stan Potts, 130-inch deer, 120-inch deer.
Yep.
Give me a second.
Give me a second, Pete.
Yeah.
Give me
a second, Pete. I think if I shot a deer like this, my celebration would be grabbing my bow by the limbs and full-blown, like, frisbeeing it into the timber and never going to retrieve it.
Just right into a tree?
Just that's wherever it lands. It was meant to be there forever, and some kid will find it and be like, ah, piece of history. Cool.
You get a new bow anyway.
I'm being an asshole. I wouldn't do that. I would probably... no, I wouldn't because I'd be like, dude, I'm going to go track him. He's going to get run off, and I just chuck my bow into the river. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then you go find him, and he stands up and runs away.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have a bow with you.
Or he just stands up and looks at you.
Yeah.
For 20 minutes.
Yeah. You just spike it. It's your celebration. I would definitely wouldn't do that, but it's fun to think about.
What a stud.
What's that?
What a stud.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's unbelievable.
Well, I think that concludes the story of the Kyle Simmons buck. Thank you so much for telling that. And we'll talk dollar amounts. I'm going to buy this thing off you, and we're just going to keep it in the studio.
Sounds good.
He's like, yeah, okay, it's a replica.
I'll write you a check.
Yeah.
can it be certified?
Well,
no.
Wade's going to pay for it, and that's going to be next year's Gator sponsorship for the podcast.
Hit this next sponsor check. Yep, they're going to take care of that for the year.
Yeah.
We'll call it even.
Yeah, it'll be good. You know, we make all the big bucks from Wade, so there it is. Well, anything you want to add or close out on or shout-outs or anything?
No, it was fun being here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for bringing
thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks for coming, Wade. Thanks for bringing your cousin.
You bet. Cuzzy wuzzy.
Means a lot.
Never will I call him my cousin.
I love that I don't know. I had no reason to think that. I thought I heard you say one time that you guys were cousins.
So. I never said that once.
How long have you guys known each other?
We knew it through each other through high school. I was actually friends with his brother.
Can I say, you're older than Lance?
Yeah, you're two older than Lance, his brother, who found the sheds. And, yeah, just grew up that way. And then when I started Gator, first person I called was Kyle. And then a couple other buddies, I said, hey, you know, I want to take this thing as far as I can go, and I want guys that just real and like to have fun. And just the way he was so, you know, real about when he shot his buck and was just so humble for how many years, that's who I want, you know, showing up my company and showing everybody what he's got going on. So
for sure.
It was a no-brainer.
And MB. Hell yeah. Eric, you got anything to add?
No. Just congratulations, man. That's a...
Well, I don't have anything to add either. That thing's insane. I'm going to take a lot of pictures, fondle a little bit. I'm probably going to call a neighbor over to see it if that's cool.
Yeah.
Don't fondle it too much.
I'll fondle it with my eyes. That's it.
Okay.
I'm not trying to catch a case or nothing, you know.
Cops called.
Yeah. All right. Time to close it out. Thanks, everyone, for listening. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.